So last time we were talking about the sources for the din that the Bnei HaKfarim can be makdim to the Yom HaKnisa, to the Monday or the Thursday prior, if Purim doesn't come out on a Monday or Thursday. By the way, halacha lamaisa, what's the din?
Today?
Yeah. Halacha lamaisa usually means today. Oh, because the phenomena is not the... Oh, in other words, because we don't have the shuk days.
How many people live out in the states?
No, the question is, if you're traveling on Purim and you don't have somebody to read you the Megillah, can you read you the Megillah?
Okay, well, we'll see. Let's progress, and then we'll see the halacha. I mean, is anybody aware of any case where people do this? Where they rely on the landing early?
What's the question? I think because if you...
The Mishnah says that the Bnei HaKfarim, the people that live off in the little villages where they don't have the Megillah and they don't lane and they don't have... But they would come into town on Mondays and Thursdays, which were both the market days as well as the days that the Kriyat HaTorah and the Batei Din, and depending upon when Purim fell out, they would either come in, and as Purim's on the 14th, Shushan Purim's on the 15th, but depending upon which day of the week Purim fell out, they would come either on the 13th or the 12th or the 11th at the earliest. So is anybody familiar with the...
I just peeked at him in the Rambam says it's not relevant today, so...
I think there is a lot, like, if you're going to be traveling and you don't have anybody to... You won't be able to hear Megillah properly on the day, you can hear it early.
Yeah, that's not the halacha.
That's not the halacha? Okay.
All right, well, we'll see. So, but here we are. So the Gemara was trying to figure out what is the source for this idea of the 11th or the 12th or the 13th. So there were two different drashot. Shmuel Bar Nachmani learns it out from Pasuk Kaf Bet. Well, I'm reviewing now, but we are now about three lines down in the wide lines at the bottom. Amud Aleph. Shmuel Bar Nachmani says the pasuk keyamim asher nachu bahem ayudim meyoveihem. Yamim kayamim. In other words, the days of Purim we know are the 14th and 15th. Kayamim is there to tell you that there are two other days that are like those days that we know about. There are two other days that are like the 14th and the 15th, namely. No. The 11th and the 12th. The 13th we know about.
That was the day of the battle.
Because that was the day of the battle according to Rashi. According to Rashi. Right? And I told you, according to the Ran, the 13th is really, in principle, should not be a day that's for reading, except for the fact that it's kind of stuck in there with sandwiched between the 11th and 12th and the 14th and 15th, so we allow you to read on that day also.
Not that it makes a difference. I mean, it makes a difference at all. It's so hard to understand Russia. It's easier to understand Iran. Why would you have a spar that you were in the 13th? Just because that was the day that they were together for the battle? And so what? That's not the Megillah is pretty explicit on which days they read. So I can understand why.
Yeah, but it's hard to say that the 13th isn't Shaykh to Purim.
No, no. Rashi, you can almost like a kavah homer. If you would do the 12th, 11th, and 12th, certainly you can do the 13th.
Right.
You know,
I
guess.
I understand what Rashi is
saying. I mean, we talked about this last week in the context of the 4th of July, but about what do you sell? Do you celebrate on the day of the war, which ended up victorious, or do you celebrate on the day? And it's always in real life. Whenever there's something that happens, the celebration is the next day.
And nobody celebrates the day Cornwallis surrendered.
What?
Nobody celebrates the day that Cornwallis surrendered. Do you know what day it was?
I don't know. What was the day? I mean, that's interesting because in America, you celebrate on the day that the whole thing started. Right? In other words, they had a Declaration of Independence either on July 2nd or July 4th. and then
in Boston they also celebrate next time we're going to.
Yeah, but there are, I mean...
Well, that's the beginning. Right. That's the beginning. I think, like I said, I think a
better Bastille parallel, Day.
I think a better parallel might be Hanukkah. Hanukkah, we don't celebrate the end of the war. We celebrate the day that actually covered, even though
right.
in Megillat Tanit, there's plenty of things regarding things that were involved in the
right.
war, but the one that
right.
lasted was actually the day commemorating the...
I mean, Bastille Day, they celebrate the day that, now, in other words, that struggle, that battle, it was only one day long, or it...
Well, you could say that the French Revolution lasted for about 40 years.
So what about Yom Ha'atzmaut?
No, but that the Battle of the Bastille Day. It was a one-day thing.
I don't know how long it took to break.
Yom Ha'atzmaut is more akin to America, as Yom Ha'atzmaut is commemorates this event, not a military thing. It commemorates this event where independence was declared, and then the war breaks out. Yeah. Right. Okay. What day did the Milchemet Ha'atzmaut end?
In the summer.
What date?
Not from 1949.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Right. I think there were different armistices signed with different three different parties.
So it's a question of what exactly are you...
Both sides
never ended.
Huh?
The day never ended.
Oh.
It's true.
So anyway, so Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says it's the pasuk 22 Kayamim. Kayamim is the limud from which we get an extra 2 days, which leads to a total of 5 days. Rav Shemen Bar Abba says no, it's the pasuk Bizmanehem. And then we got off on this little sidetrack of how do you read the pasuk? What is Bizmanehem? Is Bizmanehem to tell you extra days? Is it to tell you only days? What if it had only said bizmanam? What if it said bizman? But they each have their own limud for where you get the extra days that are not explicitly mentioned in the Megillah. But of course, we mentioned last week this idea that, of course, it had to be built into the Megillah. In other words, it's not a patent. This is not a... They're not looking for a source from which you learn out the idea. Because when Chazal made Purim, they made it with this idea that it could be any day from the 11th to the 15th. So what we're really looking for is not a source, but a remez to what? And that's not the Gemara uses the phrase remez. So now the Gemara says that this is the third wide line towards the bottom. Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Oh no, I'm sorry. Two lines above that. The third line down here. You see, the first line, word on the line is ktiv. Ktiv. Period. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, my time alo amar bizmanehem. Why did he not learn like Rav Shemin? Why didn't he use the pasuk of bizmanehem? So he says, no, zman, zmanam, zmanehem lo mashma. He didn't hold truck with this whole, you know, reading of the words. He rejected the drasha. Again, you can't say he rejected the drasha because it's not a drasha, like I just said, but he rejected the drasha. Right? Zman. It all means the same thing. You can't make such a diuk.
Why not?
Because he thought it was an implausible reading. In other words, like the question in the Gemara. The question in the Gemara itself said, if you could substitute any of these words, zman, zmanam, or zmanehem in the posuk, and the meaning is still essentially the same.
I mean, zman itself has an aspect of plurality to it.
Zman itself, right.
You say zman, it could be 5 days is a zman.
Right. Right. Rav Shemin Bar Abba, my time lo amar mi kiyamim. So why did Rav Shemin Bar Abba reject reject Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, which is kiyamim? So Omar lacha ahahu lidorot hu dichtiv. What is the pasuk kiyamim there to teach you? Pasuk kaf aleph kaf bet. Pasuk Kaf Aleph. You have the Pasukim here. You know them, Baal Peh.
Hope not Baal Peh.
No, he doesn't read them, Baal Peh, but he knows them. Baal Peh. That's a difference.
That's why he's not going to read right now.
L'kayem aleihem liyot osim et yom arba asar l'chodesh adar v'et yom chamisha asar bo b'chol shana v'shana. That each, they were Makayim. They accepted upon themselves that each and every year they would make Purim. Kayamim asher nachu bahem ayudim. So Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, Kayamim is there to teach you not just the 14th and 15th mentioned in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, but Kayamim, another 2 days plus one. Right? So why doesn't Rav Shimon Bar Abba accept that? He says no, because the word Kayamim is there to teach you what? For future generations. That just like they had Purim on the 14th and 15th, the year that Purim actually happened. Did anybody celebrate on the 11th, 12th, or 13th? No. Why? Because they didn't know what was going to come out yet. So Kayamim is to teach you, not that you can also do it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. Kayamim is to teach you that in the future generations,
like these days, the 14th,
like this season, you will do it. So that's why he needs the pasuk of Zmanehem. Kayamim is used for a different purpose, to teach you the halacha that Purim Ladarot.
Especially with the whole Asher Nachu Behem Hayudim Behem, like those would be the days, the 14th and the 15th.
So look at Rashi Lidarot. It's about six lines down and the thin lines in the Rashi Lidarot Hu Dichtiv Lahachi Shayach Lishna Dikro Kayamim Klomar Yaasu Lidarot Yudalad Vetet Vav Kasher Hayab Bimei Hanes Yamim Asher Nachu Bahem, just like you said.
And so only he's saying that only coming to about Yudal and Tanah?
No, because he has a different limud. And he tells you the word Kayamim is to teach you Lidorot for all future generations.
What's Dorot? All five or just the Yudal and Tanah?
No, that for all future generations.
According to Rashi.
According to Rashi.
The Dorot Arbasar, Yasu, the Dorot Arbasar, the Chamishasar.
Right, but when you say Arbasar, the Chamishasar, you also mean. Rashi can't tell you what the Gemara is. The Gemara explicitly tells you that Rav Shimon Bar Abba.
No, he's saying. No, that's exactly what he's saying. Kayamim only teaches you 14, 15, right. So he needs the extra limud.
Right.
So that's what I don't get. If what you're saying is that.
But he has extra limud from Zmanehem.
No, but if Kayamim is talking about 14 and 15, so why can't he just use the Pasuk Kaf Chet where it says, isn't that the speaker, the rote that needs to have like some.
No, because where would the remez be there?
And why does it? He doesn't need Kayamim to just let the rote. We have a pasuk. The Zichram Le'Yisuf means Aram. The Yamim Ahe Lo Yivrum Mitoch Ha'Yudim. That's clearly talking about the rote. So if you still,
right.
Which like, you know, if I would understand without Rashi that the 12, 13, 11, 12, and 13th are the rote because you need some pasuk to teach us that. But Rashi seems to be saying only 14 and 15. I don't need the Kayamim to teach us about 14 and 15 for the rote because I have a pasukim in the Megillah itself. So Rashi's explanation is a little strange.
Okay. So Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rashi tells you that this, what's the antecedent of Zu? Our Mishnah. The din, that there is such a thing as reading on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Stim To'o. The anonymous opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rashi explains that Stimta'a Harbe Stam Mishnah Stam Rabbi Shehein Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That many Mishnayot, many anonymous Mishnayot are Rabbi Akiva. Right. Through Rabbi Meir. In other words, when it says Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta, it doesn't mean the words of Rabbi Akiva, it means the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And then he mentions all this the different teaching. Rashi a little bit rejects this idea, but it's true that the Gemara says it here. That the Stama, that the anonymous authorial voice of the Mishnah, represents the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's principal Talmud was Rabbi Meir.
I once heard that there actually was a Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva.
Yes.
So that this would be from his that.
Presumably, in other words, there were different versions. like we have Tosfot, and we have the Tosfot Arash, and we have the Tosfot Mishnah. There are different editions of Tosfot. Right? For whatever historical reasons, the version of Tosfot as it got printed in the Gemara became the kind of definitive Tosfot. Well, for many purposes, the Tosfot HaRash, right, the Rush, the Rabbeinu Asher, was printed in the back of the Gemara, he also had a version of the Tosfot that he, I don't know, authored, or he edited, or he compiled, or... And it's available to us. It's on all the shelves. You can have it. A lot of times, if you're stuck on a Tosfos, which has been known to happen, if you look in the Tosfos HaRosh, the Tosfos HaRosh is usually very parallel to our Tosfot. I mean, sometimes there are Tosfots in that we have on the daf that aren't in Tosfos HaRosh, and vice versa, but in most cases, it's very parallel. And sometimes just looking at a parallel version where the wording is, you know, slightly different and sometimes clearer, that can help you over the hurdle of making sense of the Tosfos. But just like there are different versions, there were different versions of the Mishnah. I mean, there were different oral traditions until Rabbi Yehuda came along and kind of set, if we assume that's what he did, and he set the Nusach of the Mishnah the way we have it as the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Sinta. The halacha that you can be makdim to the Yom HaKnisa, to the Monday or the Thursday beforehand, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Didorish Zman Zmanam Zmanehem. Because he held like Rav Shimon Baraba, that he learns out from the posuk of Zman Zmanehem. But the Chachamim reject this idea. Reject everything we've been talking up until now. What do the Chachamim say? When do you have to read the Megillah? If you live in Yerushalayim on the 15th, if you live outside of Yerushalayim, no matter whether you live in a big city or you live in a little shtut with three Jews and a goat, you have to read it on the 14th. You can't make it to town on the 14th? Tough luck. If you're able to, you can read it or not. Look, this is always, even according to Rabbi Akiva, a Jew who lived out in the Shtachim with three Jews and a goat, but he knew how to read and he had a Megillah, he could read on the 14th. He didn't have to go into town. So the Gemara says Meisvei. This Meisvei is a test. So this idea that the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but the Chachamim say there's no such thing as reading on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, the Gemara now attacks this premise. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Emotai, when can you read it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th? Bizman shehashanim ketikunan. Yisrael shruyin al admatan. Aval bizman hazeh ho'ilu mistaklin ba ein korinota ela bizmana. The whole idea of being makdim, of reading the Megillah early, is only when the calendar is fixed by Kiddush HaChodesh, Hashanim Ketikunan, not just Kiddush HaChodesh, but also Ibur HaShana. As nowadays, we have a fixed calendar. But in the days of old, they would be Aber the Shana. If they saw in Adar that it was still dead winter, and Purim was Pesach was going to fall out too early, so they would add Adar Bet, pushing off Pesach by a month. Now we have this set calendar on a cycle of 19, what is it, 7 times in 19 years is in Iber Shana, there's a leap year. But in the days of old, when there was Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Bet in the Sanhedrin would be Ma'aber the Shana, and when the Jewish people were not in exile, that's when you can do the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Why? Ki kulan mistaklin. So look at Rashi.
That's first of all really strange. Because it's you have a ton of things. But it wasn't set until after the...
You have a...
Tana. I'm going to view it.
Yeah.
Saying this quote, right? It seems a little bit of an anachronism. Because the calendar wasn't set permanently until the beginning of Amorim, until Hillel Shini, right? So, like, it's weird that Rabbi Yehuda would be talking about a time like that, this Manazeh, in his time it was like that.
In Rabbi Yehuda's time, they were only relying on
they didn't have the same calendar until the second or third. I mean, maybe he was saying to not Yisrael Shurim al Matan, but certainly they were still setting the calendar in Rabbi Yehuda.
Did I see something?
Hillel Shini was the one who was covering the calendar, the permanent calendar.
I thought we got a boundary.
Said it, but it means before the Golos. It means before the Golos. I guess the key here is the.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. So yeah, look at Rashi. Bizman shashanim ematai hikilu chamim ala kfarim. Bizman shashanim ketikunan. Shashanim mitabrot al pi betin. Veachodashim hamikadshin bevetin shulchin shluchehen lehodia ematai hukdash nisan. Vosin moadim al pi shluchin. Keshruin al וכששרועין על אדמתן, והשלוחין מגיעין עד הפסח לקצה ארץ ישראל. אבל בזמן הזה, שפסקו כל אלה, וישראל נפרדו, ולא יגיעו שלוחי ביתין אצלם, הכל סופין למקרא מגילה, ואומרים יום י' ד' באדר קרינן המגילה. נשארו לאדר תתבב יום ותתבב של ניסן ועושים פסח ואם תקדים קריאתה יעשו פסח לסוף 30 יום של קריאה ונמצאו אוכלים חמץ בימים אחרונים ביום של פסח. They'll make פסח 3 days early, 2 days early, even a day early.
They did count 30 days from קריאה.
Yeah, in other words, it's like what happens in our house? We come home from Haber, from the Purim Suda, my wife starts with the Pesach. She starts taking out all the pasta from the cabinet and putting it, like, you know, wherever, you know, you have to start getting ready. So in other words, they used to use the Kriyas HaMegillah as the siman for when to start getting, they knew that Pesach's in a month. So that was okay. Reading early was okay when there was the shluchim that would come out from the Bezdin when people were not relying on Purim to count the calendar. But now these simpletons that would come in from the Kfarim and would read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, they would start marking off on the bedpost counting to 30 and they'd get to Pesach early.
Right, didn't they know they were reading early? And
so apparently there was a chashash that these simpletons would get confused.
And this wasn't a problem with a, because people would come and tell them when to make Pesach.
In the days of old,
right.
In the days of old, they wouldn't know whether Rosh Chodesh Nisan was going to be today or tomorrow. So you couldn't rely on that.
Right.
So Rabbi Yehuda, Aliba Deman. So this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that you can only do early Purim in the days of old, but not Bizman Hazeh with a fixed calendar. So Rabbi Yehuda, Aliba Deman. Whose opinion is this like? Is he like Rabbi Akiva? Or is he like the Chachamim? So Ilema Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, Afilu bezman hazeh ita lahay takanta. No, it doesn't make sense. And there's three positions here, right? Now, Rabbi Akiva says you can make Purim early on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. The Chachamim say you can never make Purim early. They don't hold from this whole thing altogether. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can make Purim early in the days of old, but bizman hazeh, that we don't have the shlichim going out and telling people about the calendar and getting to all the far-flung diaspora Jews, so we can't do it lest Pesach falls out at the wrong time. So whose opinion is he like? It can't be Rabbi Akiva. Why?
Because
Rabbi Akiva says even bizman hazeh you can do Purim on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Ela lava liba de Rabbanan? Is he not like the Rabbanan? Uvizman sha shanim ketikunan v'Yisrael shurin alav matan miya kirinan. And it can't be like the Chachamim either. Why? Because they say you can never do it even in the old days.
Unless Rabbi Akiva, again, I'm still a little concerned about this anachronism of Rabbi Akiva.
All right, I'll hold off on that.
But unless Rabbi Akiva was not, didn't get to that point where they had their
Rashi says we're talking about Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Akiva lived before and after the Churban. This is talking Rabbi Akiva after the Churban. Rabbi Akiva, Rashi was aware of your question.
Because that would be a solution.
That would be an answer, but it's not. If it were correct, it would be right. Yeah, this is Rabbi Akiva aware of the fact of this galut.
Where does Rashi say
that? You see, Bizmana ze nami ita lahai takanta, daha Rabbi Akiva bizmana ze hava. Vama Rabbi Matnissim bidimakti. So that gets the question of majority and minority, and you can't. There's always somebody. But the question of like whether but in other words, there was still in the Gola. It's true that in the Gola, and even Yom Tov Sheni would not solve the problem. Because you could be reading it 3 days early. But I guess there was a sense that in the time when the Sanhedrin was sitting and there was still more authority, the Takana would work. But the question, I guess, of like to what degree, what's the tipping point where you have to say there's a majority of people that we can't trust and therefore we can't allow this because... Anyway, so... As Tiufta, Rabbi Yochanan Tiufta. So Rabbi Yochanan can't be right.
That's what Rabbi Akiva didn't say.
What?
Rabbi Yochanan, when he said it was Rabbi Akiva, who said
But Rabbi Yochanan who said that, Rabbi Yochanan said that our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachomim say there's no such thing as early. Rabbi Yochanan said, our Mishnah that says there is early Purim, that is according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Chachomim reject the whole idea. So we see... According to Rabbi Yehuda rejects that possible reading of the because it just can't be. You can't box them into those positions. So, Ikeda Aleph Dalet, Ikeda Amri, but there's another version. There's another version of the Mesve. There's another version of the Gemara. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Zo divrei Rabbi Akiva stimta. Aval Chachamim amru. What did the Chachamim amru in the first version? There's no such thing as early Purim, but in this iteration of the statement, Bizman hazeh ho'il u'mistaklin ba ein korinota ela bizmana. In this iteration, it's the Chachamim themselves that say that there's no such thing as early Purim, but not ever. And it's in the first version, the Chachamim say there's never, not in the times of the Mikdash, not in the times Bizman Hazeh. But in the Ikeh D'Amri, in the second version, the Chachamim themselves say that there's no early Purim Bizman Hazeh. But... in the times that the Shanim were Ketikunam and Yisrael Shumat Matam, then there would be. Why? Because after the Golos, so you have this potential problem of leading people astray in terms of the date of Pesach. So now already that's a problem. Because you can read that according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is no longer a stira. Seder, but in other words, if there's a in the first version, there's a machloket between Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan says the machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. That cannot be not in the first version. Now it's like in the first version. So now it's not a tiufta. It's not a tiufta Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, in the first version, Rabbi Yochanan could not have said such a thing. Because it contradicts Rabbi Yehuda, right? In other words, it's either the world is either round or it's flat, right? But according to the second version, so now Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim. Seder, we can understand that there's a machlokas, right? Aval bezman hazeh oil masayeh ela bezmanam bezmana. Yeah, Oda El Bizman. Rav Ashi says, Kashile de Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have Rabbi Yehuda contradicting himself. Why? Now Rabbi Yehuda is saying, here, in our Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda is saying what? You can only make early poor. You with me or you against me? Hello? Or what, too much whiskey?
Too much Rabbi Akiva.
No, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva hasn't changed his position. Rabbi Akiva is the only one who's being consistent here.
Or is there a different Rabbi Yehuda?
We haven't gotten to him yet. Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. In our Brisa here, Rabbi Yehuda says what? Rabbi Yehuda splits the difference. He says, Bizman, in the old days, you could have early Purim. Because people didn't rely on Purim to figure out when Pesach would be. But Bizman Azeh, because people use Purim to rely on when Pesach's going to be, you can't have early Purim because these simple country folk, country bumpkins, they will make Purim on the 11th, 12th, Pesach on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Nisan, which is bad enough that they won't be, not only will they not be becoming the mitzvot of Leil HaSeder, but on the fifth, sixth, and seventh days of Pesach, they'll be in chametz.
If you're telling me you can't read the Megillah early because they're going to take the date that they read the Megillah, they're going to come 30 days, and they're going to get to Pesach, but you're reading the Megillah on two different days. So if you have a country bumpkin that lives in the city, but he's a country bumpkin, he's reading it a day that he's going to do Pesach.
Country bumpkins don't live in the city.
Stupid people live in the city just as much.
No,
as
see,
not.
But in other words, Rabbi Yehuda. But that's the difference. When you live within a community, so you know what's going on.
You look at the schedule. Right? You're not making up your.
They
own
make
thing.
The announcements.
You. What do you do at that area of Kippur? Right, and you always forget whether you wear a talus, you don't wear a talus. You look outside, you see if the guy's wearing a talus, then you
right.
Wear a talus.
Right. In other words, you show up. How many people show? It happens every year. People show up to Shulach Halamoid with their tefillin. So you think, okay, it was in the talus bag, it came along for the ride. But you see, they look, oh yeah, I forgot that, we don't put on. Or people show up Tisha B'Av morning, people show up with their tefillin. Right, isn't it natural? You go out to shul in the morning, you take your tefillin with you. You don't need to be a country bumpkin to make a mistake like that.
Imagine,
you get to shul and there's a corrective.
Imagine some of these things probably happened. Let's say, you know, immigrants from Eastern Europe went to all sorts of like small communities in America. There might have been like, you know, a couple here or there, and they probably had some of these issues until they.
There's a fascinating book that was. I'm surprised you haven't read it since you read everything. There's a fascinating book by Elisheva Karlebach.
Oh, you mentioned this in two or three. You mentioned the calendar.
Well, you can get the notes on Psochim from him.
Okay. Oh, Tom was reading, right?
I lent it to Tom, I think.
What's the name of the book?
Elisheva Karlbach, something about it has the word celestial in it, so something the word time in the title. I'm fanning
time.
It's
on my Amazon wish list.
But it's about. I read it when I still had a library card at the National Library, and I was able to take it out from there.
And then you gave it to Tom.
What?
Then you gave it to Tom.
And I lent it to Tom, yeah. It's about how Jewish calendars, again, calendars as ritual objects. Jews went off to America. They lived in these little Charleston, South Carolina, and Brazil, all types of places. So a Jewish community needed all types of things, right? How did they get a mikveh in America? Right? How did they get? But you need to count because you needed to know. You needed to know when Yom Tov was. Right? How are you going to keep track of what the Jewish calendar was in a non-Jewish society? In Europe, earlier in the Middle Ages, you needed a Jewish calendar because the Jewish calendar would tell you when Christmas and Easter were. Because you needed to know, because it was forbidden for Jews to do trade. It was sometimes dangerous to go out. But it was forbidden for Jews, not just because of Yom Edam, it was forbidden for Jews to do business
by law
on Christian days of rest. You were a shoemaker, you were a blacksmith, you were the whatever it was. You'd go out and you'd open up your cobbler stand, and the goyim would come and they'd at best fine you, at worst kill you, because you were desecrating the holy Palm Sunday or Good Friday, whatever it was. So the need for calendars, that was something. So the guys in the village, it's true there, Ame Haaretz, even in big cities. Not in our city. But there's a corrective. The fear was, you live in these little villages. Sometimes these villages didn't even have a...
Frisco kid?
Right.
Sure.
You didn't have... So that's the fear. That there are Ame Haaretz and all types of places, Nicha, we're aware of that.
Not Ame Haaretz, was one of the most smuggled things into the Soviet Union.
The Jewish calendar, right? So Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So our Rabbi Yehuda here says, he splits the difference. In the old days, you could make early Purim, but Bizman Azeh, because of the Hashash of when Pesach's going to fall out. And the other Rabbi Yehuda is the Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah on Daf Hey, Amud Aleph. Right? See the Mishnah on Hey Amud Aleph? Mm-hmm. First, the Mishnah is trying to figure out Ezo who here Ir Gedola. Kol Sheyesh Bo Asara Batlanim Pachot Mikan Harei Ze Kfar. In other words, you have to figure out what's. Let's say Taka. I live in Yerushalayim, but I'm traveling that day. You know, it's like always people. You know, like you want to go to America, like flying to them. This happened to us once. I was very upset about it. You know, you're flying to America. If you go to America on Hanukkah, you're coming back on Hanukkah. It happens more if you're coming back, I think, than
right,
if you go there.
Skip a night. Right.
You can miss a whole night of Ner Hanukkah. And there's always like one crazy guy tries to light Ner Hanukkah on the plane, and you know, they just don't put up with that. There's a tshuva. Rav Avadia has a very interesting tshuva. I think we learned it together once about using an electrical Hanukkah.
They have such a thing as electrical for Shabbos candles.
Are you joining us?
Yeah,
sure?
I just don't want to bother you physically, yes.
So, Lamaisa, we paskin, you can't use an electrical Chanukiah. But Bidiyevid, you're on the plane, so you can use like a panas or something. I mean, you don't make a brocha.
But the Chanukah becomes mitzvah the gavra, and it's really not. If you're on a plane and they're lighting your house, you yotze.
Yeah, but who goes to America by themselves?
Thank you.
Right. Also, imagine that if a sacred Torah mitzvah applies to lulav, it certainly applies to right. Hanukkah.
So,
if a traveler is putter from lulav, it's going to be putter from sukkah, then putter from Hanukkah.
Not necessarily.
Really? Seems very strange.
The reason that you're putter from sukkah, a traveler, is because of teshuvah daduru. In other words, normally you eat in your house at your dining room table. Sometimes you don't. When do you have to be in the sukkah? Anytime you would normally be in the house. What do you have to do in the sukkah? Anything you would normally do in the house. It's true that there are machmirim that say you should never, under any circumstance, absent yourself from the sukkah. You can't go on a tiul on Sukkot, because why would you want to be outside of the sukkah? We don't paskin that way, although I admire that. I always aspire to that idea of like being in the sukkah and never being disturbed and not having to run around. But
in Manhattan.
Huh?
I once heard in Manhattan on the list, but the old line, they said, if you eat lunch at your office every day,
yeah.
It's not your house, so you can eat lunch in your office on Sukkah still.
Yeah. Certainly, Achilat Arai. That's the idea why you can have Achilat Arai outside of the sukkah. Because people eat snacks on the go. That's very different. That's a special din in sukkah, not on other things. We don't say that a holech drachim is potter from netilat lulav, or from anything else. That's a special din about sukkah. You're chayiv in the sukkah when you're not otherwise doing something. That you're chayiv to be in the sukkah the same way you're in your house. You're not always in your house. If you're doing something that normally would take you out of the house, then you don't have to be in the sukkah for that moment. If it's raining inside your house, you don't stay there, which is why if it's raining in your sukkah, you don't have to stay there. So we have to define. So we don't say that the guy living in a big city, it's going to be inconvenient for you. You can lane early. That's a special din for the Bnei Kfarim. What does halacha have to then do?
Define what a big city is.
Define what a city is and define what a kfar is. So that's what the Mishnah does. But then the Mishnah goes on. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Eimatai, when can you make it early? Makom shenichnasin b'sheni v'chamishi. At a time and a place where they do this, where the custom of having market day or betin day on sheni v'chamishi, where the people in the villages would actually come. But even if you live in a small little village and they don't have this thing, this custom is no longer in place, or you live in a place in a time where this is not in fact the case, so then this whole invention of the 11th, 12th, and 13th doesn't apply to you. And what do you have to do? You have to go on the 14th. Because mainly you don't go in on Sheni V'Chamishi. So you're going to have to make a special trip. Once you have to make a special trip,
do it on the right day.
Do it on the right day. Lo b'sheni v'lo b'chamishi ein karin oto ela bizmana. How is that a stira on Rabbi Yehuda?
It's an addition.
What?
Not only that, but it's also just when Bnei Yisrael Shri and Elad Matam and
Well, no, it's. I mean, it's kind of what I'm thinking. It's not. He's here. It's not time dependent. It's not dependent on whether.
Right.
We are.
He recognizes the fact that there is
a time now that we do this.
A time that we do it, and that time is after Korban Abayit.
Afilu bezmanazeh.
So what is? How do we resolve this contradiction?
So. Because you're saying bezman hazeh, so define what bezman hazeh is.
No, the whole sugi is defining bezman hazeh is, in other words, there's before the Korban and after the Korban. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Hey is saying, even after the Korban, there is such a thing as early Purim.
Right. I understand everything that's going on. I'm saying maybe the answer is that you have to redefine what bezman hazeh is according to the current generation of Poskim, and not according to before Chuban or after Chuban.
No, but it's clear in the Gemara that we're talking about, because the Gemara says, the Gemara contradicts Bizman Azeh against Bizman She Shanim Ketikunan V'Yisrael Ad Matan.
Okay.
So what do we say? Umokim La Labraita Krebi Yossi Bar Yehuda. No. Our Vraisa, the one who said that it's only Shanim Ketikunan, the Yisrael Ad Matan, that wasn't Rabbi Yehuda. It was Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Is a typo. It's not a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. It's a contradiction between Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Umi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bizman Hazeh. Hoilu mistaklin bo ein korinota ela bizmana. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "En achinami bizmana ze, you can't do it." V'riminhu. Am Rabbi Yehuda ematai makom shenichnasim. So this is the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah I just read. Mishnei b'shchamishi aval makom she'en nichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi ein korinota ela bizmana. Makom shenichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi miha krinan v'afilu bizman hazeh. We're back on Daf Beis. Umokim la labraita k'Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda umeshum dekashile k'Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda mokim la labraita k'Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Oh, hold on a second. The Gemara asks the question I was waiting for you to ask.
Wow. I was just going to say that sounds pretty stretched.
Yeah, it sounds pretty stretched, right? In other words, you have a stira between statement A and statement B. It can't be that one person said both of them. So what do you say?
Oh, it wasn't him.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
Someone with a similar name.
Somebody with a similar name. Right? So Gemara says, really? Because it's you paint yourself into a corner, that's your answer? That's what you pull out of your magic hat? So no, no, no. So the Gemara is aware that it sounds like a stretch. The Gemara was aware that it sounds like a stretch.
That seems like a more likely explanation than some of the other answers.
No, it does answer the contradiction. It's not a contradiction. You thought Rabbi Yehuda said A, and then Rabbi Yehuda said B, and it can't be both. So it's not. Rabbi Yehuda said A, and Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda said B.
No, I'm saying it doesn't answer the contradiction, exactly. Then you still have two separate things. You still have two contradicting opinions.
No, no, no. In other words, this is Gemara 101. The Gemara likes everything to be smooth and easy. If there are two statements, that contradict each other, what's the first impulse?
They don't contradict.
They don't really contradict. Why? This is talking about this case, Hacha b'mayaskinan. This is talking about this case, and that's talking about that case, apples and oranges. You can't always do that. So there are other, like in the triage of how the Gemara goes about resolving the conflict, you can say, this is the halacha, and that's the rejected opinion. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes you have to say, Enachinami, there's a machlokas. Rabbi Akiva says this, and the Chachamim say that, and now our job is to determine what's the halacha. What's the normative law? But Enachinami, sometimes there's a machlokas. But what's the one thing we can't tolerate? We can understand the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. We can't understand the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Because the one thing, even if we think the country bumpkins may be idiots, the one thing we're sure of is that Rabbi Yehuda was not an idiot.
But what would we, the Gemara, say in that case? Tretanai, maybe we should,
Right. So you can say, this is Rabbi Yehuda. If you have two Rabbi Akiva, two Rabbi Yehudas saying contradictory things, you can say, this is case A, and this is apples and oranges. Well, you can say, and Achinami, he changed his mind, which is not something that generally we like to say, but we're prepared to say it. Or you can say, one of the ways out, although it is something dachuk, is to say, and Achinami, there's a problem here in the tradition, in the transmission. It's not Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, a completely different figure, and okay, so there's a machlokas. But this just seems way too convenient. Because you have this contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, you're just going to say presto changeo. You remember Letterman? Right? The electric company, right? In other words, there's a cat coming down chasing somebody, going to scratch him. Along comes Letterman.
Cat sounds very rude.
What?
Cat?
A cat, C-A-T.
I'm saying, but he would add a letter. What do you have to catch?
He adds the letter S and makes it scat.
I thought it was E.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a silent E at the end.
If only there was some kind of worldwide resource where we could look up the encyclopedic entry on all of the different Letterman episodes.
We better move on, or I'm going to pull up a YouTube.
Yes, but it's the same thing. So it says Letterman comes along, and says, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda.
Just add the
Rabbi Yossi. Right? So that's really, it's just no. That's not what it is. Don't think so lightly. This is the Gemara. Mogin advisor. Rav Ashi Shamele de'ika detane lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. V'ika detane lo k'Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Ashi had two traditions. He had this teaching, like in his card catalog. He had this tradition that it was Rabbi Yehuda, and there was a parallel tradition that the same statement was made by Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So in many cases, what difference does it make? Right? A lot of cases it doesn't make. This is, you know, you always is like, what is the Gemara always careful to tell you the chain of transmission? Omar Rabbi X, Omar Rabbi Y, Omar Rabbi Z. Because sometimes you need to know who said it, because you're going to need it to square his opinion against something else. So you have these, so in a lot of cases you have two traditions who said it. So you say, Nachinami, what difference does it make? Oh, it does make a difference, because when you try to square all the facts against each other, this could not have been Rabbi Yehuda, because that would constitute a contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yehuda, and that can't be. So what do we say? We have these two cards in the index file. We have to say that the entry that says this is Rabbi Yehuda is incorrect. And it must be that it is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda.
The Masorah HaShas in the previous Amud says that it comes from the Tosefta. So it's not even just some weird, you know, some. So I wonder if, like, I don't know, in Lieberman or anyone discusses the, but, you know, how they resolve it. Because it's not just some.
Wait, so we're almost done. We have 2 lines left before the 2 days. Umedekashe leder of Yehuda, ader of Yehuda. Omar man, the tani lake Rabbi Yehuda, lav dafka. Man, the tani lake Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, dafka. So there were these two traditions. The one that said it was Rabbi Yehuda was imprecise, was lav dafka. And the one that said it was Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, he was precise. He got it right. And therefore that resolves the contradiction. But the Halacha Lamaisa, David is right. The Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even mention this idea of laying on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. The Rambam mentions that we don't bismanazah the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, but the way the Rambam says is it's a little different. It's a little different. And for reasons we'll come back to next week. Yeah.